If the Seattle management isn't give you their time of day, what makes you think that Jerry Jones is going to listen to you?
Sometimes they're blowing teams out by 10. Come on now. When they're on, they're on.
Again, I'm going to need you to write LeBron a letter, send it to him, and say, Bron, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to hop off your bandwagon. Don't do that.
Welcome to Stir the Pot Sports, presented by Clovercrest Media Group and CMG Podcast. I am your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brothers, Riley Barrett and Sander Sanchez. How are you guys doing?
Chilling. You?
I'm good. Man, I'm excited for today's show, man. We got a lot of drama. We had a big retirement of the UFC. We got a little March Madness, but, you know, we got to start off with what really is the biggest drama right now in sports. When it comes to Deshaun Watson, man, a lot of drama coming out of Houston. Got a lot of allegations coming out about the star QB that's on the surface about sexual assaults, you know, coming out with masseuses and, you know, a little bit of forcing of this, a little forcing of that, which makes a lot of girls comfortable. You know, allegations at the moment, there hasn't been any files really yet. But I'm going to start off with you, Pride. You know, what are your reactions to these allegations? And do you think that this will make it easier or harder for the Houston Texans to deal with the star quarterback?
So I'm hoping he didn't do anything right now. A lot of people are saying, oh my God, he's an awful guy. And Texans are kind of trying to paint him in that same light where they're trying to act like he's already guilty. I'm probably going to get us canceled for saying this. So I just want to apologize in advance. Just because they accuse him doesn't mean the man's guilty. Let's pump the brakes a little bit. I understand there's like nine, which is weird because at first the story was he approached them and then he forced it. Then it switched to, oh, well, they were massaging him and then he made suggestions. Then it went to he implied. Then they were massaging him and he tried to force. It's just a lot of stuff. And the people are saying, oh, well, it's more than one person. Well, yeah, I mean, let's call it what it is, though. They were so scarred that instead of calling the police, they called a lawyer. Now, me personally, and again, I'm probably going to get flack for this. Frankly, I don't care. But if your first call isn't the police, a lot of people are going to look at you real funny. From the jump, you're automatically going to be put under a microscope. That's not to say that they're lying. I'm not trying to say that at all. But when something happens and the first thing you do is call a lawyer and 2 days later, your first communication with him is, oh, if you give me this amount of money, I'll be quiet. It's going to make you look not in the best light, because at this point, it's not like you care for justice. That's not, you know, and that's kind of how you're going to look in terms of how it's going to work out for Deshaun. It really all comes down to how the NFL investigates. No one's really going to touch him now. They're going to wait for the investigation to go through. More than likely, the NFL isn't really going to do nothing crazy. They're just going to go, okay, well, what happens with the lawsuit? That's what I'm assuming their pathway to this whole situation is going to go. They're going to see what happens with the lawsuit. If nothing really happens with the lawsuit, they're just going to clear him. And just because they don't really know what else to do, teams are still probably going to be wanting him. And once the NFL says he's clear and that he's done nothing wrong, once the NFL deems him innocent, they're going to take him. Because remember, these are civil lawsuits. If let's say Deshaun loses, he's not going to jail. All he's got to he just has to give them whatever money that they're asking for. So it's not like this. It's not like Deshaun is facing jail time. It's not like if he loses, he's going to go to jail. So this really won't deter teams. Who it is probably going to save if he ended up doing this is the Texans. Because the Texans didn't want to trade them. Now it's going to give them the perfect the little outweigh that they want where they can go, oh, well, you know, you guys say we're a bad organization, but look, we got rid of the guy. We didn't care about his talent. He did wrong and we got rid of him. So that's really the only party in this entire thing who kind of really has an upside. Deshaun's career, it's going to go regardless. I just don't see this as tainting him only because he's not going to jail. It's not like he's got to do community service. You know what I mean? It's just, there's really nothing bad. And even then, if he does go to jail, I mean, so did Mike Vick, and they gave him a second chance. Like, you know, the Eagles gave him a second chance regardless of what everybody else said. So with a dude this talented, they'll probably give him a second chance. It's going to be real interesting to see what happens, because I guess like a couple hours ago, four more people came out. And the sentiment around the – which is crazy, but the – like, and around the league, there's like guys who are anonymously speaking about this. They're saying, look, man, the stories we're hearing, this doesn't sound legit. That's what kind of the word around the league is going, which kind of does parlay into the whole fact that Deshaun will be okay in terms of will teams want to get him, will teams still want to make a play for him. Because a lot of teams are looking at the situation and saying, this doesn't make sense. There's pieces of this puzzle that's missing, and there's pieces that don't fit that people are trying to make fit. So do I think that this is going to impact him? Not really. Again, it's all going to come down on the investigation that the NFL does. And it's not like the NFL is going to do an investigation. They're just going to parlay and go, okay, what are they doing? They're going to give it like a few weeks. And if nothing really comes out from the lawsuit, they're just going to shrug their shoulders and say, well, what else are we supposed to do? So it's definitely going to be an interesting thing to watch and see what happens and how this unfolds. Because the lawyer he got, if I'm not mistaken, it's the same lawyer isn't that the one that OJ had? If I'm not mistaken?
No, not OJ Simpson. That's
the same one that Roger Clemens
got. Adrian
Peterson had.
Yes, it was Adrian Peterson. With his whole child thing. And then that ended up getting thrown out the window. You know what I mean? Like, so it's definitely gonna be interesting. It is crazy how, you know, Deshaun was like, yo, look, man, this ain't even legitimate, you know. And there's rumblings from his camp that he's probably gonna try to countersue if, you know, because he's saying this is not true 110%. So it's gonna be this whole situation will be very dirty. A lot of mud is gonna be slung. And whoever wins is whoever didn't get hit with enough mud. But everyone's gonna look dirty in this situation. So it's just wild, man.
Yeah. Well, to the question, JJ, it's gonna make it harder to deal with the quarterback. To Ty's point, it all comes down to whether or not these allegations are true or not. Now, in all seriousness, I want to take a side note real quick. This is serious stuff. This is serious allegations, and it should be handled as such. You know, we don't have enough to go on exactly. A lot of the stuff that's going on is, you know, just hearsay, she say. But I feel like as the investigation goes on, more, you know, messages will be, because they said that there were messages being involved. So once messages are involved, you already know the FBI or whoever's investigating the NFL is going to make sure that those messages are leaked and we see what was said. From what I'm hearing that the messages that Deshaun was saying to the masseuse, which, by the way, real quick, Deshaun Watson, I know you're not watching us because we're not big enough yet, but hopefully one day you do watch this. What are you doing? You are a quarterback to an organization. You have a little problem with one of your muscles. Dude, you go to the organization and ask for a professional therapist or a masseuse. You don't go to Instagram and get one of these IG model chicks to try and give you a massage when you know they're like, oh my God, that's Deshaun Watson? Isn't that this girl's man? Oh, let me try it. You know what I'm saying? Like, just the possibilities are endless when you go to that extent. Instead of being a professional and getting it professionally. Side note done. But anyways, you know, this whole thing with the timing, you know, that's the only thing that I suspect is a little fake, guys. The timing of the situation, you know, because, you know, he's trying to get out of the Texans. You know, he was saying that the Texans organization has been, you know, been bad to him, and we've seen the moves that they've done, and they're not treating him good. Sending Nuke away, sending linemen away, it's like draft picks away. It's like you're not building on this guy. So I understand his frustration, but the timing is a little off. And I'm also hearing that the lawyer to three of the four women that are involved in this suit, the lawyer is three houses down from the Houston Texans owner. And supposedly, the Texans owner is real good friends with this lawyer. So it's just a little fishy. I'm not saying that they're in cahoots to corroborate a story, but it's just the timing of the whole situation and the coincidence of how this man lives, is a neighbor to the owner. You know what I'm saying? Just, you know, it's just mad fishy. But to the case part, there's not sufficient evidence yet to go by anything, probably, like you said. So it's all a matter of, is it true or not? Did this happen? And from the looks of it, Deshaun Watson making a statement, publicizing, look, I didn't do this. This is not me. I'm not that type of guy. I don't know about you guys, but Deshaun Watson, I never met him, but he's never publicly struck me as the type of man that do this. And especially, I don't know if you guys know, but the baddie girlfriend that he has at home. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like with a man as set he is financially, with the baddie woman that he has at the home, I don't think he would waste his time risking his entire life and his livelihood with some Instagram models trying to be his masseuses. I don't know. I'm not trying to shade at them. If they're masseuses, go ahead, baby girl, get your money. But, dude, you went to Instagram to get girls to rub on your leg. Now, the messages that supposedly one of the girls that are using against him, it's literally Deshaun Watson politely asking her if she's okay with working on his lower body. When she replies what part, he says his lower quads because they've been bothering him. He's a mobile quarterback. Of course they're going to bother him. So he's asking politely. Now, that's just reports that are on the internet. I don't know if they're official or not because, again, the investigation hasn't released anything yet. But you already know, the internet, you know, they be wrong, but sometimes they be right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, you know, it's all a matter if it's true or not. If it's true and Deshaun Watson is accused and is guilty of all this stuff, I'm sorry, Pride, but you brought up the Vic situation. I know it was dog baiting, but this is sexual allegations against women, and that should not be allowed in the NFL because me as a teammate, if I'm a teammate, I shouldn't have to worry about working with you and then knowing that you're going to go home and probably sexually assault another female. I shouldn't have to deal with that at the end of the day. So I don't think if he is proven guilty of this, I don't think he'll get a second chance. Because Ray Rice knocked out his girl, half outside the elevator, half inside the elevator, and he hasn't touched the field since. So I think the NFL nowadays are going to take these things really, really serious. And if this is serious and it's, I don't think Deshaun Watson will see the field again. But I don't know, JJ, what do you think?
Well, you know, my initial thought was, and you know, I'm gonna stir the pot with this one, but I really thought, yo, are these Houston Texans trying to tarnish my boy's reputation because he wants out? Did the Texans were the ones that hired this girl to come out? And because honestly, it's not one, not two, not three. We're talking about up to almost 9 girls ready to come out and make this case. And, you know, like I said, that's my first initial reaction because, you know, I feel like the Houston Texans right now are like the petty girlfriend that just don't want the man to do better with his life because he wants to leave the house. That's really like my first gist of it. But in all seriousness, though, like I'm very disappointed when it comes to Deshaun about this whole scenario because we're talking about a young man, I believe he's 25 years old, he just signed a contract. He's making around $40 million a year now, which is, Jesus, that's beautiful money. But you would think that. Profession. Exactly. But this man has to be smarter about the way that he conducts his business, especially when it comes to women, because we know that we live in a day and age where a woman could go out and make these allegations, as he said, she said things, and sometimes the benefit of the doubt don't go for the men, unfortunately. And I'm not trying to sit here in the airwaves trying to be biased towards men and women because that's not what we're here to do. But it's just a reality of the situation that we're facing at the moment. But, you know, I agree with you completely, Sandra. The whole thing about him going on Instagram to go look for this service. No, you have an organization who could provide you a professional that could provide you that service in a trusting manner. You know, I watch Undisputed every day. Shannon Sharp mentions that he has a masseuse named Des that he's had since 1999, a woman that he's had for that many years that they have that trust. When she comes out, she stays in his guest home. Why? Because they have that trust. She knows how far she could go. He knows how far he lets her go. And that's really a bond and a trust that you must have as a professional, especially when it comes to dealing with your body, especially if it's another person of opposite sex. Is very important, you know, because the last thing you would want to do in any profession is make another person uncomfortable and avoid any scenario like this. And it really makes me feel bad for Deshaun because You know, he arguably, I know we are arguing between Mahomes and Watson and who's the best quarterback that's young right now. And you can't go wrong either way. But Deshaun is one of the best athletes that we have playing the quarterback position at the moment. And to see him go through this, you know, he could come clear out of this. But at the end of the day, now his reputation is tarnished. People are going to look at him in a different light. People are going to say, well, let's just say in a scenario where he, quote unquote, beats the case. Well, did he really do it, though? Or did it just go swept under the rug, pride? So do I think
real
that
quick, it's – quick, Jay, real quick, to your point real quick about that, Jay, and I don't know if you guys heard, but the Deshaun Watson got in contact with the lawyer of these women, spoke about maybe settling, and Deshaun Watson was trying to settle for, you know, but the lawyer automatically wanted six figures, automatically over $5 million, supposedly. So wait a minute, you just want $5 million plus out of me. You're not even trying to get the justice, but yeah.
Yeah, and you know, and that's definitely an angle that you could tackle. But to answer the question, do I think it'd be easier or harder? I mean, it all depends how bad you want him, honest, because if I'm a team interested in Deshaun Watson, I want Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson's don't grow on trees, especially at his prime age. The best quarterbacks don't hit the free agency or are never on the trade block. Think about Tom Brady, GOAT. You know what I mean? I'm not going to put Deshaun Watson and Tom Brady in the same sentence just yet, but Tom Brady didn't become a free agent until, what, the age of 42? Peyton Manning, 38? Guys like Phillip Rivers at a lower tier, but a guy that's very stable in his role, 37? You know what I mean? So quarterbacks, if you're good, they keep you. And they usually will try to keep you as happy as you can in that organization probably for as long as you can. So it really just comes down to how bad you want Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I mean, I get your point on how bad you want him. And I get it. There's probably, like, the Jets will probably don't care about the investigation. They'll probably try to get him regardless. But if I'm a GM, I still wait. Just to make sure. Let the NFL do its thing. I'm still waiting. And I'm not completely taking him off my board or anything like that, but I'm going to wait. Give it a little bit of time, because as time goes on and the evidence starts leaking out, that's when we can really start piecing the truth more. So I do get your point, because, again, Deshaun Watson is electric. He definitely is a phenomenal athlete, one of the best quarterbacks we have today, and the future is definitely bright for the NFL with Deshaun Watson. But if he did it, whoever takes him, if you mishandle something like this, it's going to be very, very difficult to overcome. It's to the point where, like, the owner might have to sell. And when the owner sells, the GM is going to have to go. Maybe even the head coach. A lot of people in the front office are going to have to go. So it's going to – if you really botch this situation
– it's kind of like a play-at-your-own-risk scenario.
Yes, it's a play-at-your-own-risk. And, yeah, listen, the risk, though, is so much – and no disrespect to Deshaun, but that risk is so high. It's like, do I even want to play the game? Do I even want to try it at this point?
To kind of your point, though, Pride – the reward is very great as well, though, because
it is
on Watson at the age of 25.
And it is. However, go ahead.
Real quick, Pride. It's like the situation that we had with Ezekiel Elliott when we were waiting and waiting and waiting. Weeks went by. Fantasy owners were going crazy because they're like, damn, is he going to get suspended? And then, boom, week six came around and he was suspended for six games. There went their fantasy season.
So, like, with Deshaun, it's going. I get it. He's phenomenal talent, but the risk to reward ratio, it just doesn't balance out. It doesn't. And the reason I say that is because think about it. In order to get Deshaun, you're giving up three first round picks, potentially a second, and you're probably going to have to throw a starter in the mix. So that's ground level. This isn't a dude that you can just give a sixth round pick for and you can just shrug your shoulders and be like, oh, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. You're giving up a lot. So before I even do anything, before I even pick up the phone, I'm waiting. I'm letting this whole thing play out. Because again, Houston's already playing hardball regardless. So it's not like a deal is going to be made in the immediate future. So regardless who you are, you still have time. So I'm waiting. Let's figure this out. Who's lying? Are these females lying? Is Deshaun lying? Are both parties lying? Are no parties lying? And is there some miscommunication? Is it just the lawyer reaching? Is this a huge conspiracy? There's a lot of stuff at play right now. So if I'm anybody else, I wait. And for Deshaun, look, man, on the field, phenomenal IQ. In the streets, this man must be the dumbest dude in the world. For you to put yourself in that position, and look, man, I have nothing but respect for him. I want to be him, okay? $40 million a year is great. I will take 50 licks to the chops if you pay me $40 million a year. No issues there. But for you to put yourself in this situation is 110% absurd. Even if he didn't do anything, you got to slap him on the wrist. You got to sit him down and say, yo, Deshaun, my guy, really? Yeah.
Right, really? Yo, I'm taking his Instagram page away.
Social media is gone for him. He gotta earn it.
I'm sure his girlfriend got him in a doghouse. I'm for sure. When you got a baddie like that, you don't need to be going to Instagram from a suicide. You just ask her or go to your team.
Yeah.
So what I kind of feel bad a little bit for Deshaun is he's gonna experience this negative backlash regardless.
Yeah,
he's guilty. Now it doesn't matter if he's innocent or guilty, and in terms of the backlash he's gonna feel, yeah. Obviously, if he did this, should he be out the league? Yes, there's no debate there. But if he's innocent, and it just comes out that this was just either a conspiracy or people reaching or people trying to exploit him, whatever the case may be, there's gonna be people out there who's going to look at him funny just because he was accused. So now that's a stigma he's going to have to carry on for the rest of his, not career, for his life. Bro, though, Mike Vick, when he be on Undisputed, he'll be posting stuff up. Oh, yeah, catch me on Undisputed. And they be memes of dogs in his little comment. And they will never let it go. Same with AP. AP beat it, for lack of a better term. He beat it. Yeah. And yo, do you know what they be putting in his thing? He'll be saying it's not corny too. It's something like, oh yeah, thank God for another day of football, whatever, right? And his memes of a dude holding a kid over a cliff. It's like, yo, my guy. It's like, when you get accused of something like this, it's forget trying to beat it, bro. It's an L. Hold your L, because you're not gonna be able to move through this. And I love Deshaun. But my guy, really, my guy, nothing but respect for him.
You're absolutely right, Pride. You know, and I'll leave it with this. Just like Michael Vick, it looks like Deshaun's gonna have to carry this black cloud over his head for the rest of his life, unfortunately. But you know, I want to transition to a big news that also came out this morning, because you know we're all big fans of the Fight Game, and Khabib, I can never say his name right. Help me. Officially retired. You know, we've always talked about this behind the scenes about how much we like this guy, and we're wondering if people are going to come back to the Fight Game. But via Dana White earlier today, he came out saying that Khabib officially did retire, and it kind of got us questioning, like, did he retire too early? Did he retire at the right time? As most fight fans know, after the death of his father, you know, it really did take an emotional toll on him. His father was always in his corner, and they both shared the dream of Khabib eventually being a champion, and they both accomplished that, remained undefeated after an impressive 29-0 career. And we've seen enough of the Fight Game to know that it's hard to stay undefeated in the Fight Game, and to retire undefeated is another feat in itself. So I'm starting off with you, Sander. You know, what's your reaction to Khabib finally retiring, and where does Khabib rank among the elites in the sport?
Yeah, and well, I'm excited about this topic. First of all, my reaction is, I'm excited that finally he decided what he was going to do. He was holding up the division for like God knows how long, you know, and he finally made the decision, and I respect it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to have any ill will towards their decision. I do feel like he had a few more fights in him. I'm not going to lie. He had at least two solid fights in him left. But nonetheless, you know, he retired for his own reasons. You know, his father passing away had the biggest impact in life going forward. His father gave him that drive and kept him on that straight edge, because his father was that rock. You feel me? That his father was to him what Customato was to Mike Tyson. And you know, when you lose that it's just such a, you know, it's such a devastating and just a life-changing loss, you know. But Khabib took it hard. If you haven't seen pictures of Khabib lately, the man ballooned. He's gotten huge. It's like the drive and the want to be, you know, in good shape is also gone. He's gotten fat, for lack of a better term. He's gotten fat. And, you know, Conor had an interesting, kind of interesting,
when he won out of Houston, he just went crazy.
Yeah, he got big, yeah. But, you know, when you're the king and you don't got to fight no more, you know, you eat all the steaks and all the beef you want, you know. But what I'm saying is, Conor had a funny post, you know, talking about Khabib not wanting to cut weight no more. And everybody knew Khabib always had issues with wanting to cut weight. Like, didn't like cutting weight. And look at how big he got. There you go. There's your answer. He's not going to cut any more weight. So when I saw pictures of big Khabib, I'm like, yeah, he's not no more. It's a matter of time until he retires. He doesn't want to fight. He doesn't have the desire to do it anymore. Especially big reason, his dad is gone. And he promised mom, you know. I don't know how many times you promise your mom something and complete it, but, you know, I'm sure a guy like Khabib, when he promises something, he completes it. You feel me? Since the Tony Ferguson fight, prior to that, you already know. This is the Tony Ferguson fight. He ain't completing that promise. But, you know, where does he rank amongst the greats and the elites? I'm going to sit here and say Khabib is a great fighter. Khabib is a historically great fighter. He's actually, you know, he's a great fighter. In the era that he fought, though, if I were to put his resume against my personal top five, which is GSP, Anderson Silva, Amanda Nunes, John Jones, and Matt Hughes, if I were to put Khabib's resume on all five of those guys, dude, Khabib doesn't even hold the key plate to them. So I understand 29-0 is very impressive. And out of the 29-0 guys, I'm going to be blunt. His biggest win was against Conor McGregor. That's it. Other wins were big, but the Conor McGregor fight was the real win that put Khabib on a whole nother level. Because regardless to him being undefeated at the time that he beat Conor, he wasn't even ranked in your pound for pound when he beat Conor. It was after that he beat Conor that he was officially ranked in the pound for pound, then started the run again and continued his dominance.
Now let me ask you, and I'm going to let you finish your point. Do you blame Dana for that? Because, I mean, Dana said some most of the fight, so he was just fighting whoever Dana lined up. So do you think that Dana holds some responsibility for that? Because Khabib was just fighting whoever lined up in front of him.
Correct. And Dana White, I will never give him slack for matchmaking because he gives us the fights that we want almost all the time. But I'm not going to say I'm going to blame Dana. I'm just going to blame the lack of competition because in the era that Khabib fought in this era that Khabib fought in, you know, you look at the guys that he beat on his resume and then you look at like the guys on a top five, like let's just say for giggles, let's look at Anderson Silva's resume. He's beaten the likes of Vitor Belfort. He's beaten the likes of, Jesus Christ, Forrest Griffin. He made Forrest Griffin look silly. He's beaten the top guys at the era. And just it's just the lack of competition in era because it's not nothing against Khabib's skill. It's just if Khabib fought in an era where they were more talented, where the division was more stacked, then, you know, I would give him more credit. But, you know, I just think it was just a weaker era in which he fought in. You know, he didn't have that many names. Like I said, my only knock against him is his resume. If you compare his resume to Amanda Nunes, to John Jones, compare his resume to Matt Hughes, who has over 40-plus wins and less than 10 losses in the UFC. Compare his resume to those guys. He does, like I said, he doesn't hold a plate to them. But it's not no knock against Khabib. He definitely is one of the greatest fighters. You know, he's going to go down as a legend. And historically for, you know, his hometown, he's going to go down as one of the greats. He just doesn't crack my top five. That's all. I don't know, probably maybe to you he does, but doesn't crack mine.
No, not even close. Not even close. Not even close. Not even close. I don't even care. And you go, you name those fighters, I'll throw Fedor above him. I'll throw Randy Couture over him. I'll throw not Ken Shamrock, Frank Shamrock, his brother. Frank Shamrock above him. Listen, man, see, the thing is, this is just recency bias. That's all this is. That's the only reason this is a legitimate question. Now, 29-0. Listen, not saying he's a garbage fighter, right?
Right.
Not going to say that at all. Great guy, right? But let's just call it what it is, okay? If you're trying to make a case that this dude is so phenomenal, he's so great, so transcendent, and he defended the title 2 times.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this one more time, because I sometimes talk too fast, right? So when I talk too fast, the point goes over people's head. So I feel like if I just say this one more time, I feel like people understand. People are trying to put him in the greatest of all time, and he has one title reign, only 2 defenses. I'm more active than this man was in his top defense, and I'm a stay-at-home dad. Make that make sense. I'm a stay-at-home dad, and I'm more active than this dude.
Okay. And we did it against Tony Ferguson 5 times.
Like, come on, bro. That to me is the biggest knock I have on him. Because had he beaten Tony, maybe you can make that debate. I'm under the firm belief if he fought Tony, he's not undefeated. That's just my personal belief.
He's gonna walk Tony. Come on now.
Come on, don't do that. If you want to talk about rocks, yo, Tony Ferguson will have this man look like Patrick Starr sleeping under a rock. Don't do that. He had my man singing Twinkle Twinkle Patrick Starr. Don't do that. Did you see
Tony's last performance? Come on.
You said what? But when they were supposed to fight, can I ask you a question?
Let me ask you a question real quick.
That's my point. If you're talking about now, Tony might get washed. He might. I don't even know if Tony will even make it 2 rounds. I don't know. This Tony? I don't know. But back then, Tony? Let me ask you a question. So you know how like the UFC, they're big on nicknames, right? What's Khabib's nickname? The Eagle. What's Tony's? El Cucuy. What's more scarier? Come on, bro. Names alone, I got
told. Yeah, but JJ, real quick to Pride's point though, when the fight was first scheduled, the first fight, Tony Ferguson was on a 12-fight win streak. And the only one at that division at the moment. So, you know, it was just a matter of it falling through 5 times. Maybe if they fought the first time, Tony beats him. But, you know, we never got it, so we'll never know, man.
We'll never know. But like I said, man, I don't – people want to say that and be like,
where do you rank him, though, Pride? Where do you rank him? If you, like, seriously.
Like I said, he's not even in my top 10. I can't put him in my top 10 because
– I respect it, bro. I respect it.
Like, the most – his defining thing was Conor, which, again, no knock against him. But the thing is, when you have – for instance, when you have a guy in Randy Couture, he left. Came back and saved the heavyweight division at 40-something years old. Did Khabib save a division? Okay, my bad. DC, which I have above him, 2 belts at the same time. So with the baddest – yo, listen, man. Amanda Nunes, I'm telling you this right now. She the GOAT.
Look, our buddy Jared.
Okay, Jared.
Tony Ferguson, that's crazy.
But here's my counter to that. Okay, you say it's crazy, but it's crazy how Khabib had to back out from him multiple times. Come on, Jared. Don't do that. Don't do that, Papa. Don't do that. Come on, bro. Look, man. I understood. Because the thing is, but this is not this day Tony. If it was this day Tony, you have a point. And I'm not saying nothing. But I'm talking about Tony who, like, looked like he was from a different place. Yeah, yes, that's the best way to describe it. El Cucuy, that's what we're talking. We're not talking about Tony Ferguson. We're talking about this bad man that you talking about a bear. Tony was out here beating bears multiple times for no reason whatsoever. You talking about, oh yeah, Khabib is a bear. Yo, my man flew. I'm not even going to harp on this too much.
Here, let me get into this.
Go ahead.
You know, I think that I might be the biggest Khabib fan out of the three, you know, and I agree with you guys. It's hard for me to really goat him. I really love him a lot. I think I call him a goat in the making because I don't think that he was able to cement his legacy because the point that you made, that the title defenses didn't stack up enough, you know. But we just saw Amanda Nunes defend her title for, I can't even count what time it was, but That's the legacy that you leave behind as a champion. Anderson Silva had that legendary run. He's my personal favorite fighter because I saw him do it on the biggest stage countless times. But I think Khabib was in that trajectory. And why do I love Khabib so much? Because he demoralized anybody who went in that ring with him. If you've seen a Khabib fight, by the time that fight was done, that guy had no chance.
Let's talk now.
And that's really what it came down. I really love that he had that he was able to have that pressure on his opponents. And that's why I think that he was on the trajectory of being a GOAT. And now we just never know. You know, the timing of his dad's death was just very unfortunate, obviously, for him and his family. But it also affected us fight fans who really love the sport, because it's going to be one of those unanswered questions that we will never have the answers to, you know. So, like I said, it's hard for me to rank him in a particular spot because the lack of title defenses. But I think that he, by all means, he will be recognized as a champion because he did work enough to become one. 29-0 does not happen overnight. You know, Dana set up the fights and he took them. And, you know, the highlight was the Conor fight. And that's, everybody wanted to see that. And that fight was entertaining as they come. And if you guys remember, the post fight was even more entertaining because, you know, there was a lot of personal feelings in that. And that, you know, Conor went out of his way, offended his family, his culture, his religion. I remember seeing Khabib jump the octagon to go get one of his boys, you know, like It was highly entertaining. And maybe I'm more for the drama like that. A lot of people are really just more for what happens in the octagon. But, you know, in terms of Khabib, you know, your lineup standard that you said, you know, your top five. Besides John Jones, I see Khabib beating all those guys.
Not Amanda. And let me ask you, I'm not even joking.
You got to beat not Amanda.
Absolutely.
You want to know what that tells me?
And I like GSP a lot.
No, you don't. No, you don't, baby. No, you don't.
Don't you say that.
I do. I just feel like in the five rounds, Khabib going to tire him out, bro. He takes you to deep water, man. He takes you to the deep water and drowns you.
Okay, but let me ask you a question.
Imagine that cardio is John Jones, and that's just because
they're smoking. And I'm explaining you why. I'm gonna tell you right now why you're smoking. I'm explaining you why. Do you know what GSP's tactic was before? And I'm talking about GSP before he left, went for Freddie Roach and established a jab. He was doing Khabib before Khabib could walk. You're going to question GSP's cardio over Khabib.
A prime GSP will wash Khabib all day.
Wash. When I say wash, I mean, I'm going to put it to you this way. GSP will go fight John Jones right after will fight Khabib, and he will still out cardio him. Period. Oh, and by the way, don't you ever in your life disrespect Matt Hughes like that. Disrespect Matt Hughes like that, bro. Because you – listen, man. Did anyone tell you that Matt Hughes did this? Maybe – it's been a while since we've seen a legit fight. It kind of has been a while. I know there's a card coming up. You know what I'm saying? It's been a while. But there's a special thing called wrestling that Khabib is all of a sudden this wizard at. My man Matt Hughes is like one of the forefathers of that. He's one of those guys.
Multiple time gold Olympic winning champion.
JJ.
Guys, listen, I want you guys to hear me out. I'm not saying that he's gonna beat them in the first or in the second. I think it will go the distance. I just envision it in the sense that I feel that Khabib will outlast in the battle. And like I said, this is one of those things that we'll never get answers to. This is like the whole who will win, Michael or LeBron in a 1-on-1? Just one of those things that is different.
We'll never know.
You know, we're all subjected to our own opinions. You know, I'm just saying that.
For sure.
If that makes you guys feel, but I just think that Khabib sits at the table with all those guys that you mentioned, Sander.
Let me just sneak in one thing.
I'm going to agree to disagree, but I respect your opinion.
I'm going to say one thing. One thing you did when you actually did hit the nail, like you hit the head on the hammer right there. When you said he was a GOAT in the making, he is on that trajectory. I'm 110% will give you that, because I'm going to tell you this right now. Had he stayed, And let's say he beat, maybe there was Connor comes back and he does a rematch with Connor, right? If he beats Connor, then Dustin, then Chandler, all while he's the champion, now you, now all of a sudden, not only does he have the defenses, but now he's fighting dudes with legitimate pedigree. You feel me? Like that.
Jared makes a valid point. What do you guys feel about what he said? He says they never saw an opponent like Khabib. Name one guy that Hughes or GSP, anything with that face that was like Khabib.
And he's
I'll answer that right now. I'll answer that right now, Pride. When fought each other, when Matt fought GSP and GSP fought Matt
fought each other.
That was each other. That was like fighting Khabib because they were both great at wrestling.
Khabib's like great on the ring. I know all those guys, my guy.
Right. You know? And but
I and think Khabib's heavier than both those guys too.
GSP and Matt.
Not GSP. He might be heavier than Matt. He might. I think so. Maybe. Not GSP.
Maybe. But GSP, they're the same weight.
Yeah, okay. they're about the same weight.
You know, but another case that I want to make, guys, for Khabib. You know, we talked about lack of competition in the light heavyweight division for that.
Not heavyweight, lightweight.
Lightweight. Sorry. Lightweight. But do you think that there's also the case that maybe he made it seem that way because he was just that dominant? Because there's also that factor too. Like, oh, maybe the competition wasn't there. Maybe the competition wasn't up to par with him.
I disagree. The only reason I'm going to disagree was because, and I'm going to say this again, he didn't come and save the division. This wasn't like
saving.
You said it needed saving?
Maybe it didn't need saving.
But that's my point. So you can't go and say, oh, well, it's no competition, but the division was fine in and of itself. You know, you can't really say, this isn't a Mighty Mouse situation.
I get it.
You see what I'm saying? Like, if there were only like two guys and then no names, you got me there. Then you could make that case.
Real quick. I feel like, and you can say, tell me if I'm wrong. I feel like what you're trying to say is that when Khabib finally got his title and started winning, he cut it off too early. He was about to go on this run because if you look at the division now, dude, it is where all of them were going to come for him. All of them. Oliveira, Dustin again, Justin Gaethje if he wins another a few fights. Connor wanted him again. These are four guys already. Michael Chandler was on the come up because he came from Bellator and knocked out Dan Hooker, and now he's getting a title fight. So it's like, dude, right now, if Khabib would have stayed and, let's just say hypothetically speaking, he would have hit the table and beat all these guys that I just named, dude, Khabib
got a legitimate shot
as a GOAT. Yes, but because it's like, check this out, and I don't know if some fans will know about this, but you guys are familiar with that kid coming to college, out of Boston College playing basketball, Len Bias? He was supposed to be, end quoted, by Michael Jordan. He was going to be the biggest competition to Michael Jordan coming out of college. And before he even stepped foot on a basketball court, he overdosed on cocaine. On the first time he ever tried cocaine, he overdosed. Yep. His greatness was cut short. And Khabib cut his greatness a little bit too short. And I respect his decision by all means because his reasoning for his decisions, I respect it. But I feel like if his case would have been stronger had he stayed longer and fought these guys, because right now the division is on fire.
Right.
I agree. And you got a final point?
Just real quick. I just want to say two things. One, there's a difference between fighting dudes and then being that dude that people want to fight. What I mean by that is when you have the title and you have that X on your back, you constantly are on the, on looking over your shoulder. You constantly got to approach things differently. So I feel like, because that's one argument people say, oh, well, he already beat him. Well, yeah, but let's stop acting like a normal 3-round fight is different from a 5-round fight. Those two things are different. And another thing I want to just touch on real quick. I don't want people thinking that I'm saying Khabib retired because he's scared. I just want to clear that up. I'm not accusing him of being scared. His father passed away, and if you follow Khabib in any way, shape, or form, any way, you don't even have to be that much of a fan. His dad was literally it. Like, if his dad straight up told him, you're not fighting tonight, he wouldn't fight. That's how much reference. Yes, that he has how much reverence and respect he had for his father. So with his father passing away, it definitely was the nail in his coffin, so to speak, in terms of his career. I just wish he was able to, like, because if he was able to string a legitimate championship run with like six defenses and then retiring on top, then you could have made a 110% conversation. You could at the bare minimum make a conversation, but like you said, JJ, it's just something we'll never know.
Yeah, and I'll leave it at this. You know, we are happy that, you know, he has peace with this decision, and hopefully whatever he decides to do with the rest of his life, I hope that he finds happiness in it. And for all our fans that, you know, enjoy the fight game, make sure that you guys follow our fellow CMG podcast, Throwing Jabs with Jerry Jones. You know, he's great. They break down all the fights that happen. So make sure you guys give them a little shout out whenever you can. But it's Friday, so, you know, we definitely want to finish off the week with our classic Stir the Pot sports blazing predictions. We're on Fridays. We try to predict something that's going to happen over the weekend in the sports world. Sometimes we get it right. Sometimes we get them wrong. But, you know, we're going to give it a shot again. So, Pride, give me your prediction for this weekend.
I'm ready to burn my dish. I got the fire alarms, popping up the batteries and everything. I'm ready to burn it. Golladay is out here going to sign with the Giants this weekend. It's a 14 race. And he's looking for getting paid $18.5 million a year. And he wants a long-term deal, which is the issue he's running into with the Bengals and the issue that he's running into with the Bears. No team really wants to give him what he wants except for the Giants. And it's a perfect marriage right there. They desperately need a number one, because I'm going to say this. I'm on record. Danny Dimes is not a trash can. Danny Dimes can ball. Now, I ain't going to say he's a top 15 quarterback. I ain't gonna say maybe that's the best he'll be. Maybe. Okay. But he and the same with Sam Darnold. They're not trash cans. They're not. They're in a bad situation. Respect these men. They're ballers. You feel me? From now on this show, I'm handling their PR. Yes, sir. Danny Dimes. Respect him. That's it. I'm handling their PR from now on, bro.
Because this is what I'm this show. We do.
But it's going to help them.
I was looking for a nickel, and I pulled out a dime.
But the Giants need a number one. They need it desperately. They have faith in Danny Dimes somewhat. They're saying, if we give him a number one, maybe he'll give us something. So now they're going to give him a number one, so that way he's got something to work with. They already have a solid team, believe it or not. I can't believe I'm saying this. They have a decent team. You know, it's enough to win that division. I mean, like the NFC East is dog water, bro. It's garbage, bro. When the best team in your division is Dallas, bro, it's a doo-doo ass. It's just garbage, bro. That's all it really comes down to. So I think this year, this weekend, Saturday night, Sunday morning is probably going to break. He's probably going to sign a 3-year deal. I'd say about 19 mil a year. So that way, when this whole thing dies down, he can go back out into that market. Because I don't think right now he wants to sign anything over 3 years. If he signs 4 years, that just means he wants to settle down there. I don't see him doing that. So you heard it here first. And if I burn it, oh well, I eat burnt food anyway. So I'm telling you, holiday to the Giants, 19 million a year, 3 years. Book it, baby.
What you got, Sander?
Okay, well, if it comes to eating burnt dishes, you eat burnt dishes all the time, baby. Well, my prediction is...
Hey, dude, who thought Megan was going to beat the goat? Get out of here.
I got a UFC fight night this weekend, guys. Tune in this Saturday. We got UFC fight night. Kevin Holland main eventing for the first time in his career versus Derek Brunson. Woo, it's veteran. He's a wild event, man. But I got Kevin Holland knocking him out. I don't know when, but I know it's a knockout. Because when it comes to Kevin Holland, the dude is unpredictable. If just look at the Jacare Souza fight. Dude knocked him out on his back, okay? When everybody thought that Jacare was going to get him because he's a black belt Brazilian jiu-jitsu, but Kevin Holland gave him the business, the work, and they call him Big Mouth for a reason. So I'm excited for this fight. If you've been keeping up with the press conferences, man is entertaining, man. He's funny. He'll talk during the fight. When he was getting smashed by Anthony Santos, he was, damn, it hurts, man. You hit hard. Like, the dude is entertaining, man. I love Kevin Holland. I'm loving what I see. I got him beating Derek Brunson. TKO. Not TKO.
Yeah, I just let me just pick on it. Yeah, let me just piggyback on this one. He a funny dude. Like the stuff, and it's funny because like I was watching a clip, I forgot who he was fighting, but he open hand smacked him and he said, That's that Nate Diaz shit. And I'm like, wait, time out. Say that one more time. And he's still chatting, but like, and it's funny because like you talk about the press conference. He says stuff in the fight that he says in the press conference. Like, that's how he kind of talks. Like, and it's funny. He is hilarious. And to your point, not only is he unpredictable, but the way he fights, it's controlled chaos. Oh, he fights like a madman, but he will not, he won't reach. He won't go too far. He's not going to be like,
too. He's smooth.
Yeah, oh my, way he's too smooth, bro. Homeboy on that Bruce Lee, he like water. Because this dude, ooh, I'm telling you, bro, he a problem. Yeah. Go ahead, JJ. Let's see what dish you burning today.
Yeah, he's definitely entertaining for sure. Well, you know, hopefully I don't burn mine. And Sander, you might like this because it does involve one of your teams. As my bold prediction is going to come out of NFL free agency, but I think the Cowboys go out and go get Ndamukong Suh. You know, the Cowboys were awful against the run last year. So bad. I remember what Dalvin Cook did to you guys, what Nick Chubb did to you guys. I mean, name the guy who ran on you guys, man. Those guys were killing you guys. I remember seeing OBJ take that break play and take it all the way around town like SpongeBob did one time. And he took
four straight games of allowing 150-plus rushing yards.
But y'all went in the division, right?
And, you know, you know how Jerry Jones like making splash plays, and right now the Cowboys have been very, very quiet when it comes to the free agency. You know, I remember after they got the Dak deal done and they were in the press conference and Jerry Jones saying, yeah, we saved money. We got some space on the pie. We're going to go get some pie, meaning the cap space. And they've been very quiet, you know, so it's looking like Jerry Jones is kind of just waiting to see what's left out there after the big guys get signed. And you know, right now the Ndamukong Suh is flirting with going back to Tampa.
They were in talk with Patrick Peterson. Patrick Peterson and signing up in Minnesota.
He's gonna look awful in purple. But nonetheless, you know, I do think that Jerry Jones is gonna go out there and snatch a guy who has a lot of mercenary in him, and I think it will really help this defensive line for the Cowboys and help with that defensive line. So, like I said, my bold prediction, you're going to get this bad boy in the middle of that line to help stuff it a little bit because, Lord knows, the Cowboys need help behind that run defense.
Man, we need Raging Bull so bad. So bad we need a Raging Bull.
But here's my question. Legit, real quick. Is he really going to make a difference? Because this ain't prime Sue we talking about. So if he's the focal point,
he's still very productive.
Oh no, Pride, to your point, Pride, and I'll keep it simple like this so we can wrap it up. The line, it can't be worse with Sue. It could only get better unless he gets hurt. It can't get worse.
I'll leave it with that.
We're Stir the Pot Sports. Make sure you follow us on Facebook and our Instagram pages at Stir the Pot Sports for the spiciest comment, the most unique cast on sports talk right now. I'm your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brothers, Riley Barrett and Sander Sanchez. We'll catch you on Monday. Game.